From KPFK Pacific, our radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Amazon.com has for years been positioning itself as a retailer for all things, mowing down competition wherever it can, gobbling up a lion's share of online retail sales. But what most customers of the company may not realize is that Amazon doesn't just want our business, it wants the government's business. A new report by Open the Government called Government Inc., Amazon, Government Security and Secrecy, has exposed the corporation's controversial relationship to the national security state and law enforcement apparatus. Joining us to tell all about it is Lisa Rosenberg, Executive Director of Open the Government. Welcome to the program, Lisa.
Hi, nice to be here.
So it isn't just Amazon, I understand, but a number of major tech companies like Microsoft and Google that, of course, like many private, big private companies, love the idea of government contracts because they're very big contracts and they can often mean, you know, renewals and more contracts. But you focus on Amazon in this report. Why?
Well, we didn't intend to focus on Amazon when we started our research, but that's just where it took us. We started uncovering that Amazon is selling to the government not just office supplies and, you know, desks and computers, but really critical artificial intelligence and really critical infrastructure for billions of dollars. And Amazon is particularly secretive. I'm not going to say all of any corporation is particularly open about their government contracts. But Amazon really has a sort of veil of secrecy, and they try to keep as much under wraps as possible. But I think what's really telling and what's really important are these contracts are with the Immigration Enforcement Agency. They're with the Department of Defense. They're with law enforcement all over the country. It's really everywhere. So, and it's Amazon just reaching into all aspects of what are traditionally viewed as government operations.
Let's focus on one aspect of the technological systems that it sells the government, and that is what you just alluded to, which is the surveillance technology aimed at immigration enforcement. There's been some coverage of this. ACLU did a really good report on the problems with Recognition, which is the name of the software, but it's with a K instead of a C. And how important a part of Amazon's relationship to the government is this particular software? And tell us how problematic it is.
Well, the problem with the software that the ACLU and others have pointed out is that it doesn't work. It identifies white men reasonably well, but people of color and women, it has a harder time identifying. So you could get picked up by this software, your picture, your face, because you're in a crowd or whatever it is, and then be linked to someone in a criminal database and be mistakenly linked to someone in a criminal database. And you can imagine the implications that can have for your life. So if, in fact, the immigration, if ICE is using this, Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency is using this, then we know that Amazon is pitching ICE to use this software. Someone at the border could be caught up and be identified as being in a criminal database when really they are an asylum seeker. And you can just imagine they would never get asylum in this country. They won't have the legal recourse to even find out what's going on and, you know, what's held them up. But the problem is Amazon is very, very secretive about what works and what doesn't and how well their facial recognition software works. And I think, you know, our position is it's taxpayer dollars paying for this software. It's our money paying for it. We should know if it works. We should know if it doesn't work. We should know what Amazon is doing to fix it, to make sure that it's more accurate, if indeed government contractors are going to use it. In addition to ICE, though, it's used by police departments across the country. And again, not just for immigrant surveillance, but protester surveillance, crowd surveillance. So you could be exercising your civil rights and get caught up in this facial recognition software and again be misidentified, you know, as someone in a criminal database. So it's got civil liberties implications, as well as just taxpayer you know, waste implications. If the software doesn't work, why are we spending our money on it?
Some aspects of this reminds me a little bit of the government's no-fly list after September 11th. How much of this technology is sort of black box? That is, that Amazon has a proprietary software, proprietary algorithm that it may not reveal to the government or anyone else how it actually does this facial identification.
I mean, in our research, we discovered not only is there proprietary algorithms that are at work here, but that sometimes the technologists themselves at Amazon don't understand sort of all the way through how this software works. But even more importantly, again, from a government oversight perspective, how is the government able to make sure that this software is working? There's no way they understand the technology. I used to work on Capitol Hill. I'm a lawyer. I know that, you know, members of Congress don't understand how this technology works. So, you know, they don't even understand Facebook, some of these guys up there. So to try to understand how this very complicated technology, artificial intelligence, is being used is almost impossible.
So it sounds like the government is trusting Amazon to surveil us properly.
Absolutely. And look, it's not entirely unlike the government trusting Boeing that their airplanes were safe to fly. Boeing said they were, and it was only after there were tragedies that we discovered that maybe they couldn't trust Boeing. So we really think that in this case, it's a similar situation. The government cannot be relying on the company that is profiting from the sales of this product just to tell them that this product is okay and it's working.
Another part of the relationship between Amazon and the government that your report covers is Amazon's angling for a massive $10 billion 10-year contract, ominously called JEDI, which stands for Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure Program. I understand it's just a massive cloud project.
Right, and it's again using sort of cloud computing and artificial intelligence to help the Defense Department, to help our military with military decisions, with national security decisions. Now, I don't want to scare anybody. It's not like there's sort of, you know, warrior robots kind of out on the front lines, but its algorithms could determine where a drone strike takes place and where the next target is for, you know, for a bomb or a drone. And again, that type of technology is probably necessary to a certain degree for the military to use, but the military has to understand if it's working. The military has to understand if the decisions that the artificial intelligence makes are accurate and what goes into making those decisions. And again, I think very, very, very few people, you know, using this technology in the military actually understand all that goes into it. The other problem is that the artificial intelligence could make a mistake, and we wouldn't necessarily know that. There's no way of kind of undoing the decision that's been made. And so if AI somehow says that a drone strike should take place X, but really it meant Y, you know, we don't know that mistake even happened.
Now, Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos met with then Defense Secretary James Mattis in 2017. Has he made it, and has Amazon really made it a secret or have they tried to hide their relationship with the government and the angling for government contracts?
I mean, I think it's not just Amazon in this case. I think that there's a systemic problem with all government contractors. They don't have to report their lobbying contacts, they don't have to report who they're talking to. Their contracts are often, you know, protected with non-disclosure agreements. And I think that's a systemic problem. I don't think that's necessarily just Amazon. I certainly don't think Amazon's gone out of its way to announce its relationships or make them public. But I think that we have a problem with the law and with disclosures. Look, lobbyists traditionally, when they go to the Hill to lobby for policy changes, have to report certain, you know, what they're doing and who their clients are, that kind of thing. But these government contractors are under no similar obligation to report who they're pitching to sell their information to.
So the materials, the technologies that the government buys from these tech companies, does it undergo any side of sort of audit? Are there any mechanisms in place for accountability? Because when you have government engaging in such technologies, there's supposed to be some sort of accountability. We have watchdog agencies, watchdog offices within agencies, right? And in this case, are they following those same sorts of standards?
We don't think so, but that's really the problem, right, is that we don't know all of the answers, but we do know that Congress, for instance, as I was saying before, is at a real disadvantage when it comes to doing oversight mechanisms of these, or oversight of these technologies and of these companies. And the problem is these companies, in these cases, are acting sort of as proxy government agents. They're doing what the government should be doing. So again, in the case of ICE, it's private companies that are imprisoning some of the immigrants who are trying to cross the border. It's private companies who are surveilling those immigrants. That's really the government's job, you know, whether you think it's appropriate or not. If the government's going to engage in immigration enforcement, you know, that's their job. They should take responsibility for it. If they were doing it, we as citizens and anyone else could file a Freedom of Information Act request with ICE and say, you know, how many private prisons are there? How many staff are in the private prisons? How many prisoners are in the private prisons? That kind of thing. But if we file that same Freedom of Information Act request now, ICE would turn around and say, we can't tell you because it's confidential information, because it's held by this private company. It's being performed by this private company.
So in a way, the government is relying on the privacy, you know, on the secrecy of a private company creating these technologies.
The government's relying on it and the companies are relying on it too. They're relying on the fact that even though they are profiting and are acting again as these proxy government agents, they don't have the same responsibilities. So they get all the benefit with none of the responsibilities.
Right. The government pays them our tax dollars to surveil us, effectively. You also point out in your report how unusually secretive this corporation is. And it has showcased that secrecy in the search for their new headquarters, right?
Right. And again, the search for their headquarters was, you know, veiled in secrecy, lots of non-disclosure agreements. They really, when Amazon was deciding to locate ultimately, well, in New York and in Virginia, but now just in Virginia, you know, we didn't know what was being offered to Amazon. Other cities that were vying for Amazon's headquarters didn't know who they were up against, what kind of competition they were up against. And, you know, I guess that makes a lot of sense. If you're Amazon, if you're not telling somebody that, you know, City X is offering you millions of dollars in benefits, you know, then you can kind of play off each other or play the cities off each other and get the best deal, the best, you know, deal for your bottom line if you're Amazon. So they were very secretive in that hunt for the headquarters. You know, again, we think that when taxpayer dollars are, in this case, being offered to lure a company into a particular city or a particular location, you know, we, the taxpayers, ought to know what that is. Yeah, the other piece of Amazon's sort of decisions about its headquarters is we have to consider the fact that probably they chose this Northern Virginia location in part because it's so close to the federal government, making, you know, their work with the federal government potentially that much easier and much, that much more convenient. When they want to go to Capitol Hill or they want to go to the Defense Department to pitch their software, they're right there.
And you also point out that Amazon Web Services, which is the sub company, I believe, that does the cloud services, is also located in or near Washington, D.C.
Right, exactly. So it's convenient for them to be there, and that makes sense. Again, we would just like to know what went into all of the other, you know, the other offers, the other offers to bring Amazon into other cities. And, you know, why did Amazon ultimately choose these locations instead of, you know, somewhere else? And we just don't know really all the details.
If a company like Amazon is interested in or already doing a lot of business with the government, There should, of course, be scrutiny of this company. Are there laws in place to do that? I mean, presumably there are vetting procedures for private contractors that do business for the government.
Right, and there are. You know, there's definitely databases full of, potential contractor violations, health and safety violations, that sort of thing. So there is a certain degree of due diligence that the government will do before they offer a contract to a particular company. I think the situation with Amazon is that they're already so intertwined in the government with its cloud computing services, with its facial recognition software. They're at the CIA again. They've got so many contracts already that they have this sort of unfair advantage. It's like they've been pre-vetted, and so they've got this advantage that I think a lot of others companies don't have.
Is it the sort of too big to fail type of logic?
Sure, and there's a lot of comfort. Oh, you know, I know Amazon. I've been working with Amazon. Again, we all use Amazon, right, for our kind of personal shopping, or most of us do. So there's that comfort level to start with. But I think much more importantly is the fact that these government contractors are using their cloud computing services and some of their artificial intelligence. So too big to fail, a lot of comfort with the company already. I think they've got a head start over a lot of their competitors. And I'm sure a lot of their competitors would say the same thing.
How aggressively does Amazon lobby the government for these contracts? And is it open-air lobbying or secret lobbying?
Well, that's what I'm saying. In terms of government contracts, it's not considered quote-unquote lobbying in terms of the law.
So if you wanted a sort of a push for a policy to be taken up as legislation in Congress, you would be called a formal lobbyist. But if you're just angling for business, you're not.
Exactly. So if I were to lobby for a change in these laws regarding secrecy around government contractors, I would have to go and then, register as a lobbyist. But Amazon, to sell all this information to the government, really doesn't have to do that.
You also point out that the CIA loves Amazon, the FBI is also involved, and it's not just ICE, right? So what are some of the things? Is it just the cloud computing technology that they're relying on that they like about Amazon?
Well, the CIA, we think, uses cloud computing. But again, people have made Freedom of Information Act requests to the CIA, and they've not really been responded to. So yeah, we do know that there have been contracts to provide cloud computing. I think it was a $600 million contract to provide cloud computing to the CIA. We don't know a lot of details about that. And again, the Department of Defense, the artificial intelligence, I think is that $10 billion contract that they're buying for kind of dwarfs everything else.
Is there a relationship between Amazon and the U.S. government over unmanned drones? We know that the CIA runs the drone warfare program. We also know that Amazon has been playing with the idea of using unmanned drones, different kinds of drones, but still similar technology to deliver its packages to customers.
Right. I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is that there is this concern that artificial intelligence is being used for drone strikes.
Using the facial recognition technology?
No, using artificial intelligence, a separate type of technology where these algorithms compile all of this data and say that a certain oil field might be something that should be the target of a drone strike for the U.S. military, or that there's something that looks like it's the headquarters for a terrorist cell. I mean, I don't know. I'm speculating here, except the problem is that we know that Amazon, or that, excuse me, that artificial intelligence, that this, this use of all of this data being compiled by computers to make a decision, to give an output, is being used to help the military make decisions on what to do. So it's not entirely unmanned. There are human actors involved, but those human actors are using information that they are receiving through these different companies, artificial intelligence.
People like Jeff Bezos like to think of themselves as utopian idealists who are socially liberal and yet don't have any problem working with administrations like, for example, the Trump administration. Even though Trump has slammed Amazon for not paying taxes, for owning the Washington Post that does a lot of critical coverage of them, of him and his government. Do you feel that this is an important thing to point out, the sort of hypocrisy of some of these tech companies, like even Facebook and Google, whose CEOs like to think of themselves as, you know, furthering democracy, but then are often seen as undermining democracy?
I think that that's an interesting question. I think, you know, the hypocrisy runs both ways. I mean, I would be remiss if I pointed out that our president shouldn't really object to the non-payment of taxes, since we've discovered
right.
He's guilty of that as well. And, you know, his attacks on the free press are unprecedented. And so, you know, I mean, we obviously have to credit the Washington Post and the reporting that they're doing.
Absolutely.
Whatever you may think of their owner, right? I mean, I think that that's something that I think is really important to say. Now, in terms of, you know, all of these companies, you know, I would be hard pressed to find any company really in any field that's going to turn down a $10 billion contract, right? I mean, I just think, so yeah, maybe they're hypocritical, but they're in it for the profits. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying that realistically, you know, for us to say, oh, Amazon should back away from this, I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's an effective thing to say to Amazon is like, give up $10 billion. What I think is more important, what I think our focus should be on is, you know, what can we do to make sure if they are going to get that contract that it's working right, you know, and that it's not treating people unfairly, it's not violating civil rights or civil liberties. And I think that there are ways to do that. I think, you know, again, with just more requirements of transparency right up front. So we see the contracts, we see what's going into the more requirements that when they test this technology, we get access, or certainly at least Congress gets access to the results of their tests, their internal tests, so we know if it's working. I think we need to beef up the staff on Capitol Hill so that, you know, these 85-year-old members of Congress who don't know what Facebook is at least have the staff who are technologists who can understand what artificial intelligence is and what goes into making these AI decisions. So I think, you know, we can call out hypocrites or not, but I think what we really need to do is focus on solutions. And I think that those solutions are there and they're possible. And I think that's where we really need to, we need to focus. Now, that said, I will say that the employees of these companies actually have a really strong voice. And we've seen it with Google, we've seen it with others. When the employees object to their employer's technology being sold or being used in a way that they think is violative of people's civil rights or where the company believes in, they have a really strong and powerful voice and they can change the decision of a company. So that's, I think, something that, you know, employees should understand. They're very, very powerful and they should take advantage of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lisa, give out the website for your organization where people can get the report directly.
Sure, it's openthegovernment.org.
And we link to that from our site. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Lisa Rosenberg, Executive Director of Open the Government, which just published the report that we've been discussing, Government Inc., Amazon, Government Security, and Secrecy. This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.